Is there anybody else in the call who would like to introduce themselves?
This recording is started.
Recording, okay. Welcoming to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Krishnadan Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic, preparing ourselves for Dashara and glories of Madhvacharya. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you very so much for giving your valuable time this morning, Prabhuji. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Am I audible?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji.
My screen is seen?
Yes, we can see your screen.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, is it possible to put on your video, Prabhuji?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ramaya Rama Bhadraya Ramachandraya Vedhase Raghunathaya Nathaya Sitaya Pataye Namaha. Hare Krishna to all of you. And welcome for this today's session. And I just thought of sharing few thoughts and the glory of this very special day, which is celebrated as Vijaya Dashami. Many people call it the victory of divine over evil, victory of good over bad, or victory of virtue over vice, like that. You must have heard about. And on this day, particularly, Lord Rama conquered over the demon king Ravana at that time, the very purpose for which Lord Rama had descended on this planet. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskrutam. So, vinashaya chaduskrutam. To relieve Mother Earth from the burden of these demoniac people. So, Ravana was one such demon at that time in Trita Yuga. And Lord Ram descended and he fulfilled his mission basically on this particular day. So it's being celebrated Shukla Dashmi of this month, which happens to be today. So when we hear about, so the festival is not only to be celebrated but also to be contemplated upon. Yeah, we do have external celebrations when we celebrate a festival, external aspects of a celebration. Sometimes people put on lamps and some give and take things happen. and n number of aspects are related to the so it's the cultural aspect of a celebration of a festival. And there is also the internal aspect that is more of a contemplation, that what do I have to do, what can I learn, and how do I celebrate internally. That is what a sadhaka need to do. So how do we celebrate a festival? Srila Prabhupada has told us the way, that we listen to the glories of Lord on that particular day. Like if it is Janmashtami, then we listen to the glories of Krishna. If it is Ram Navami, then we listen to the glories of Lord Rama. If it is Radhashtami, we listen to the glories of Srimati Radharani. Like that, we celebrate. So it is very aptly said in 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the verse which I have chosen to begin with for today's session. It's 9th canto, 11th chapter, 23rd verse. Purusho Rama Charitam Shravanai Rupadharayan Anrusham Chaparo Rajan Karma Bandhair Vimukchate. Purushaha, any person, what does he do? Shravanaihi upadharayan. Shravanaihi means by oral reception through the ears. Upadharayan, he holds that. So any person who holds what? Ramacharitam, the glories of Lord Ram's character, his charitra. Any person who hears about the glories of Lord Rama, what is the benefit of that? Andru Shamsya Paro Rajan. Rajan, this is being spoken by Shukdev Goswami to King Parikshit. Therefore, he says, hey Rajan, O King Parikshit, Andru Shamsya Paro, that person will get rid of envy in the heart. Is that the only benefit? No. He says, Karma Bandaihi Vimuchate. He will become, muchyate means to become free from, vimuchyate means to become totally free from karma bandhan. Karma bandhai vimuchyate. So what is the total meaning of this shloka, what we are seeing here? Any person, you might see my cursor as well, any person who hears with his ears and holds what? The glories, the glorious character of Lord Rama, O King, he will be free from this deadly disease of envy, and not only that, but he will be totally free from all the karmic bondage. So that is the meaning of this verse. So anyone who hears, and I got a very nice shloka. I don't know from where it is. It says it is one verse Ramayana. It means the whole Ramayana is depicted in one verse. So I thought maybe I can share with all of you, because when we say Purusho Rama Charitam, the whole charitra of Lord Ram to be discussed, and it's impossible to dive deep into the full flow of Ramayana. But what does this shloka say? One verse Ramayana, entire Ramayana in one shloka. Adav Rama Tapovana Adigamanam Hatva Mrugam Kanchanam Vaidehi Haranam Jatayu Maranam Sugriva Sambhashanam Bali Nigrahanam Samudra Taranam Lanka Puri Dahanam Paschat Ravana Kumbha Karna Hananam Etad Hiramayanam. You also must have known some of the terms from this shloka. Adav Rama Tapovana Adigamanam. In the beginning, Lord Rama went to the forest. Exile. We all know the story. Kaikai made a plot and sent Lord Ram to exile. So Rama Tapovana Adigamanam Hatva Amrugam Kanchanam, and he ran behind Indra Tapovan to kill that golden deer which was demanded by Mother Sita, and Marich has taken that form. And then after that, what happened? Vaidehi Haranam. So Vaidehi is another name of Mother Sita. So Ravan came disguised there with an ill intention to kidnap Sita, and he became successful in his attempt, and he kidnapped Mother Sita. And then while going, towards south direction from Tapovan, and it happens at the same place, Nasik. So Tapo Vaidehi Haranam. So Mother Sita was kidnapped, and from here, while going to the south, in between there is a place called Taket, which is around 60 kilometers from Nasik, and there Jatayu saw that Mother Sita is being kidnapped, and he attacked, but he could not succeed in his attempts, and he got killed by the hands of Ravana. So here is Jatayu Maranam. Then Sugriva Sambhashanam. Then Lord Ram went from here in search of Mother Sita, and while searching, they came across this Kshetra, what we call it, Kishkindha Kshetra, where they met Sugriv. And we all know Sugriv and Vali, they were at loggerheads with each other, though they were brothers, and there is a big history behind that. And they made a treaty. Sugriva's wife also was not with him. And they had a pact. Lord Ram would save, Lord Ram would kill Vali and get back lost kingdom of Sugriva, and Sugriva would help Lord Ram getting Mother Sita back. Bali Nirdhanam Nigrahanam, and that's how the Vali was killed. Samudra Taranam, and they wanted to cross the bridge now towards Lanka, and Hanuman, we all know that all the Neel and Alert monkey soldiers, which were all gathered, so they all crossed by building a bridge over Lanka. Samudra Taranam, Lanka Puri Dahanam. And how Hanuman had gone there previously, and he has burnt the entire Lanka, and now they all attack Lanka. Paschat Ravana Kumbhakarna Hananam, and then after that we know how Kumbhakarna got killed, Ravana's son Indrajit got killed, and Ravana got killed, and Mother Sita was rescued from Ravana's hand, and Etadhi Ramayana, and this is all Ramayana all about. So very wonderful, in one verse only the entire thing is summarized. So when we say Purusho Ramacharitam Shonahi Upadharayan, hearing about Lord Rama, and we are discussing about Rama Vijaya Utsav. So that is Dashahara, also called as Dashahara. Interestingly, I will not be speaking much about Lord Ram today, though it is Ram Vijaya Utsav. In one verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavatam Anukulena Krishnanushilana Bhakti Uttama. This definition which Rupa Goswami gives in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, therein, in commentary, Jiva Goswami has written his own commentary called as Durgam Sangamanitika. In that he says that Krishna Anushilanam, Jiva Goswami has given word for word meaning, and the entire analysis of this verse, word wise. So wherein he says that Krishna Anushilanam, Krishna includes Krishna, his dham, his devotees also. So when we say Ramacharitam, we can also say Ram includes Ram's devotees. So devotees charitam also is Ramacharitam, because in Krishna, Krishna's devotees are included. Similarly, when we say Rama, through corollary, Ram's devotees are also included. And therefore, the theme for today's discussion is Rama Vijay is followed by Rama Bhakta Vijay. Yes, we are talking about Ram Vijay. Ram conquered over Ravana, killed him, and we know how he killed. He tried to cut the head of Ravana, and he had got the benediction from Lord Shiva that another head would immediately appear, and he had 10 heads, so Dashanana. So Lord Ram would purposefully not cut all the heads, but he was cutting one by one head. And then lastly, Vibhishan revealed the secret that there is nectar stored at a particular spot in his body. And then when Lord Rama hit that particular area, then he got killed. So Ram Vijay, we all know. So for Lord Ram to become victorious on this particular day, there was all chain of victory of devotees of Lord Rama over temptations. And that I call Rama Bhakta Vijay. So Rama Vijay, for Lord Ram to become Vijayi, is not very it's very glorious thing, because Ramo Rajamani Sada Vijayate, he is always victorious. So Ram Vijay Din, at the particular day to be attributed for Ram Vijay is not so commendable, because he is Sada Vijayate, he is always victorious, because he is God. Though he is playing the role of a human being, he is totally a divine element. But when we are trying to be devotees of the Lord, so what contribution the devotees of Lord Ram had made in him becoming victorious, that is more of a concern and contemplation for us sadhakas. So what I said over here, Ram Vijay, is followed by Ram Bhakta Vijay. I will elaborate, and then again we will see this slide, what I exactly meant. So Rama Bhakta Vijay, so we are going to discuss about three bhaktas of Lord Ram and how they won over temptation particularly. Because Vijay for a devotee is what? A Vijay for a devotee is to become victorious in the battle with Maya Devi, the illusory energy of the Lord. So the three devotees who particularly became instrumental in Rama Vijay are Sugriva, Hanuman and Mother Sita. These three is what we are going to discuss. So let us discuss them one by one. So when we say Sugriva, so we all know from the storyline of Ramayana that when Ram and Lakshman, they were in search of Mother Sita, they came to Kishkindha Kshetra, they met Sugriv there, and as I told, they had an agreement made that they became friends with each other, and Lord Rama then killed Vali and got back the kingdom to Sugriva. And there was a period which we call it as a Chaturmasya period, the 4 months of a rainy season, wherein you can't embark on some auspicious things, or you stay at a particular place. That was a custom in those days. Like we also know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya was visiting Dakshin Bharat, South India tour, he stayed in Srirangam for 4 months, which was the Chaturmasya period. He didn't travel. So travel, one should not travel. That was the custom at that point of time. And then Lord Ram said that, okay, after the Chaturmasya ends, we will begin our journey. And Sugriv got this time at his disposal. And because he had already lost the kingdom and now he has gained it back, he was totally absorbed into it, totally into gratification. And then the 4 months passed. Lord Rama was thinking, now the time is going and we should embark on a journey. But how to remind to Sugriva? And then Lord Rama tell Lakshman, can you please go and remind Sugriva of a mission that we have undertaken? And we all know the nature of Lakshman. The nature of Lakshman is very aggressive, and he is a hot-headed fellow. That when Ram was exiled, Lakshman became so angry that he said that, who is that henpecked husband Dashrath, let me kill him today. Who has given him the authority to send Lord Ram to exile? I will kill him today. And then Lord Ram had to pacify him. So that is hot-headed Lakshman, short-tempered. So when now he is being ordered by Ram to go and remind and do something of this Sugriva, then he had that, like, you know, the order given, what I like to do, and the same thing is ordered. I like mango juice, and doctor asks me to take mango juice as a medicine. How happy I will be. So Lakshmana became so happy, and he went into the chambers of Sugriva, and just by the blow of his arrow, he made a sense over there. Something like a very rigorous entry, what we see in films, you know. And then he told Sugriva that Lord Ram had sent Vali to the abode of death, you know, and that door is open for you as well. So better you cooperate and do not forget your mission. And then Sugriv said, yes, 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 sorry, sorry. And then Sugriv came back to his senses. And then he embarked on a mission that, okay, he sent invitation to all the monkey soldiers and all the Vanara army he started gathering. So basically, we are also Sadhaka, and Sugriv represents Sadhaka here. Sugriva got distracted from his mission many a times. We also get distracted from our goal of Krishna Bhakti in our life. What was the reason Sugriv got distracted from his mission? So the main reason for forgetting the service of Lord Ram in case of Sugriv was having free time. Right? As I told you, the 4 months time. He had ample amount of free time with him, and therefore he engaged in gratification. So many a times when we also have some free time left in our schedules, then Maya enters through that free time. And when we keep ourselves positively engaged in Krishna consciousness, then there is no time for Maya to enter. And we can remain, so to say, Krishna conscious. Just like, just to give an example, if someone happens to ask you, you have 5 minutes now, and after 5 minutes, you have to give a class on Vijayadashmi, a spontaneous class. So in those 5 minutes, you will be totally absorbed in what you will be speaking, because it has come to you all of a sudden, a spontaneous thing, and you will be totally absorbed. Where is my this point? Where is my lecture heard? What should I speak? So you will be totally into that. And in those 5 minutes, you will forget all your lust, anger, greed, all the anarthas you will forget. You will forget all your other responsibilities, right? And you will be absorbed and focused on only one particular thing, the class, which is arriving after 5 minutes, right? So those 5 minutes are your busiest 5 minutes for the preparation of a spontaneous class. You will not think of anything. You will not be tempted by anything in those 5 minutes. Now, what only thing we have to do is extend those 5 minutes over a period of a day. Quite possible. So extend that. Extend those 5 minutes. It means leaving no free time for Maya to enter in our lives. And therefore, we call it in Sanskrit Samay Sanyam. Samay Sanyam means what? Being able to master, or basically control our urge to have a free time in our life. And time is so very valuable. Chanakya Pandit says, Srila Prabhupada used to quote this verse, Ayushah kshana ekopi na labhya swarna koti bihi na chet nirarthakam neti ka chahanistatodhika. A moment lost cannot be regained by paying millions of gold coins. And a moment lost is the greatest loss. So therefore, a very wonderful quote. Ordinary people think of merely spending time, and great people think of using it. So when we have a time at our disposal and we try to make a schedule, and if we don't have a schedule of our time, then there are these two forces that drives our schedule. If we don't make our schedule, then these two forces will act and allow the Maya to enter through these two. What is the first one? The internal whims. Your mind will say, you have a free time, just play this game, watch this fun, and do prajalpa or whatnot. So the internal whim, because mind has got a free time. And the second is external request. External request means what? Someone will come and disturb your schedule. You are free? Okay, let us go to watch this. Or let us go to taste, there is a new hotel opened. Let's go. And you will say, by the way, I don't have anything to do. Better, let's go. So, these external requests by other people and the internal whims, our own mind saying something and asking us to do non-Krishna conscious activities. So these two external forces will gain upper hand if we don't make our own schedules. That at particular time, I will be doing this. Now, if this class would not have been scheduled at this particular time, imagine what you would have done. Someone has asked you, are you free at, in India, it's 5:20 now. If someone would have asked, are you free at 5:20? You said, no, I'm busy. I'll be hearing a class that time. Okay, no problem. If someone has asked, are you free at 5:20 p.m.? And if you had not scheduled class, okay, what for you want me? Just I'm also free. Can we go for some watching a movie or playing this? There is something new has come in our city. We'll go and watch. Okay, anyway, I'm also free. Let's go. So the point I'm telling is there are twin forces that affect our schedule. Our internal beam, the uncontrolled mind and its desires. And second is the external request which others throw on us. So better we make our schedule, and it's called as time blocking. We block our time of the day. From this particular time to this time, I'll be doing this. From this to this, I'll be doing this. This to this, I'll be doing this. And entire day packed. Srila Prabhupada used to say, if your day is of 24 hours, have a plan for 26 hours. And therefore, a very nice thing is that temptation never visits during one's working hours. When you're working, when you're fully busy, as I told, remember those 5 minutes. You have to give a class after 5 minutes. So no temptation will come during those 5 minutes. You all agree to this. And there is an amazing example of this in front of all of us, and that of Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda Prabhu would be so Krishna conscious throughout the day, doing all the menial services. Someone asked him, how do you protect yourself from Maya? And his reply is written over here. I have no time for Maya, he said. So totally busy in Krishna consciousness. And Sugriva had that free time. Therefore, he was non-Krishna conscious or non-Rama conscious or non-mission conscious at that time. Later, when Sugriva along with all his Vanara army, along with Ram and Lakshman and Hanumanji, they all attacked Lanka. When Ravana got to know that Sugriva is helping Ram conquer over me, it's mentioned, one night Ram approached Sugriva and he said, Ravana said that, see, your brother Vali was a good friend of mine. What bad I have done to you? Why are you against me? Please do not go against me. You ask for anything, I'll give you that. So he was tempted again by Ravana. But then, because he was on the mission of Lord Ram, he could straightaway say no and reject the proposal of Ravana and continued in his mission. So Sugriva got that second temptation, but because he was engaged in the mission of Lord Rama, he could say no to it. So to be positively engaged in Krishna consciousness is the only way. Just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 6th chapter only, it is said, Yamadibir yoga pathai kamalo bhato muhu mukunda sevaya yadvat tathatmadha nashamyati. Yam adibhir yoga pathai. Yam adibhi means yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyabhar, adibhi, ityadi, etc. Yoga pathai, on the path of yoga, kama loba hato muhuhu. Kama means lust, lobe is greed. They can be killed to some extent. So what is being said over here? When you follow some other path of yoga, ashtang yoga, yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, whatever, you will be able to conquer your lust, anger, greed, etc., anarthas. But mukunda sevaya yadvat. But what and how much purification that can be yadvat? As much as obtained by mukunda sevaya, by serving Lord Mukunda, tatha atmadha na shamyati. That much purification will not be obtained by other paths. So whatever amount of purification, obviously you will get some purification when you follow other paths of karma, yoga or whatever. You will have some purification, but not to that extent. That much purification you can have by practice of bhakti yoga, serving Mukunda, Mukunda sevaya yadvat. So therefore, keeping ourselves busy in Mukunda seva, in the service of Lord Ram, in service of the Lord, in the mission of the Lord, then actually the purification of the heart is more. And so we need to be constantly engaged. Keep yourself busy, engaged in Krishna consciousness. Second example we come to is that of Hanuman. We all know, we are not going to discuss from Sundar Kanda, that is a big journey of Hanumanji and how many temptations came in his journey and how he conquered over them. That's also discussed greatly during the discussion of Sundar Kanda. But today we are going to focus only on one aspect of Hanumanji when he was in Lanka. When he was in the search of Mother Sita. When it said that Hanumanji entered, he jumped over the ocean and he landed in Lanka almost at a time of evening. And at night time, he had to search for Mother Sita. So he went into the Lanka, different parts. So how do I search? And he went straight away into the, because Hanuman was Ashtasiddhino, he was a very intelligent person, and he knew that what are the chances of Mother Sita being kept at which place. So he went into the chambers of king over there, king of Lanka, Ravana. And in the night time, we all know that Ravana was a demoniac king and he had all the best of Nagakanyas, best of Rishikanyas, best of all damsels from the planet with him in his kingdom. And they were all resting at night. And Hanumanji, who was a brahmachari to enter into someone's bedroom, that too in the night, and that too of a king, and that too so beautiful queens. So Valmiki Muni mentions in the Ramayana that when Hanumanji was going and observing, and he had to search where is Sita, because he had very less time left at his disposal, because Sugriv had already told that you have to come back in this particular time only, and the time was flying by. So they had no time left to wait for next day. So he had night time only to look for. And that is the time where he won't be caught. So he was looking, and at one point of time, the thought came in Hanuman's mind that what am I doing here? I'm a brahmachari. I'm entering into the bedroom of this demon, and I'm having a look over all these damsels who were in their sleeping condition, half naked, naked condition. And what am I doing here? And then again, the second thought came in his mind, and that was of Lord Ram. And he got pacified that I'm here only for the mission of my master, Supreme Lord Ram. And therefore we say, you know, jahan Ram hai, wahan kaam nahi. Wherever there is Ram, there is no kaam. There is no lust. And then he could pacify himself, and again, not finding Mother Sita, he went, and then he went to Ashoka, Guru, and there he found Mother Sita, and the big story is there after that. How one is supposed to interact with the world outside is being told through this example by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 2, verse 58. Through an example. Yada samharate chayam kurmongani vasarvashaha indriyani indriya arthebhyastasya prajna pratishthita. While defining sthita pragya vyakti, Lord Krishna is defining who is sthita pragya. So one of the characteristics, how he interacts with the world is, yada samharate chayam kurmongani vasarvashaha. Just as kurma means tortoise, he retrieves all his limbs whenever he seems danger. In the shell, you must have observed. All his limbs go inside the shell whenever he feels some danger. So similarly, Krishna says that indriyasya indriyasya arthe. So when indriya senses are coming in contact with the sense objects, asthita pragya vyakti, asthita pragya person, retrieves his senses, doesn't engage there. So there are two types of people. They are called as, one is called as grabber, another is called as resister. Grabbers are those people who will succumb to the temptation. Resisters are those people who will resist and say no to the temptation. Grabbers are of this mentality, seeking immediate enjoyment, which in Sanskrit is called as prayers. And resistors are of this mentality, not seeking immediate enjoyment, but looking for something long-term, that is called as shreyas. And therefore, the only way to get over with temptation is by resistance and not indulgence. So therefore, we need to ask ourselves, ask yourself if what you are doing today is getting you closer to where you want to be tomorrow. So, many people have this dilemma during decision making. What I should decide upon? What should I do? Whether I should do this or that, or any kind of dilemma like that. So we need to ask this. This is a very, very important slide, I will say. And it can help us a lot in decision making also. That we need to ask ourselves if what I am going to do today is getting me closer to where I want to be tomorrow, where I want to go exactly, what is my goal in my life? Okay, I want to attain Krishna Prem. Okay, what am I doing now? Is it conducive for that? Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Sharanagati has got six symptoms, and these first two symptoms are, I accept only things those which are favorable and reject those which are not favorable. So the temptation is coming to tempt me, and if it is not favorable for me, I have to say no, a big no to temptation and big yes to my mission. And therefore I say that for becoming successful, a successful sadhaka here, what we need is willpower. We all have heard of, but we also need something which is called as want power, that ability to say no to the tempting object, and that can be anything. Going ahead, so this is the second example we discussed. Hanumanji, who could say no to all those temptations and focus on the mission of his master, Lord Ram. And the third and the last example which we are discussing is of Mother Sita. When Ravana kidnapped Mother Sita, it's not that Ravana directly went to Ashok Vatika and kept her there. He took her and showed the entire palace, look where I am living, and if you want to live with me here, this everything belongs to you now. So Ravan actually tempted Mother Sita through four ways, tried to seduce Sita by four things. First, Ravana glorified her beauty. What a beautiful queen you are, and why are you wasting your youthful time? Ravana showed his opulence. Ravana took her through the kingdom, through his palace, see the golden city, which was alluring and attractive. Third thing he did was criticism of Lord Ram. Are you going to spend your whole life with that mendicant and just be bereaved of all these enjoyments for which the life is meant? So he criticized Lord Ram. And the fourth thing he did was threatening. I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to kill Ram. And at one point in time, we know that he, along with the magician, that brought the head of Lord Ram also, cut head of Lord Ram, that we have killed, now you be with me, don't go, because no one is there. Ram has already been killed. And we know that wife of Vibhishan came and intervened, and she pacified Sita. But still Sita denied. So Sita had all that option. That temptation were there. Golden Lanka is there. Ravana was the king. She was beautiful. And that's how Maya enters in our lives as well, right? The first thing the Maya does is glorify us. You are such a bhakta. You are such a devotee. You can speak this way. You are so affluent, so handsome. And then whenever someone glorifies us, 50% of the job is done, right? You know, so this is glorification. Then we might get attracted by the opulence of Maya. Maya shows her opulences, and there are n number of opulences of Maya. And criticism of Lord Ram, Maya does that for us. What you have got by practicing your sadhana for 20 years, see, still you have these tempting objects, still you succumb to temptations, and still you have not purified yourself, still you have not got Krishna prema, what has been promised to you. And look at that Krishna, so cunning he is, and so many things, so criticisms of the Lord. And threaten, sometimes devotees do receive the threats also, like in Russia, we all know the stories from Salted Bread. Give up your chanting, otherwise we'll kill you. Something like that. So all these things allure us. All these three examples which we discussed, Sugriva, Hanumanji and Mother Sita, at one point of time, they were tempted. And all three of them, they could win over temptations. Therefore, Lord Ram's vijay is celebrated because these devotees became vijay. Imagine if Sugriva would not not have become, or he would not have won over the temptation which was offered by Ravana. You surrender to me, I'll give you everything. If Sugriva would have submitted, he was the main instrument in Rama's success. If Hanuman would have got tempted and stayed there only and forgot, then no one would have known whereabouts about Sita. And Sita herself, if she would have accepted the proposals of Ravana, then Ram's victory would not have mattered much. So Sita's victory or the temptations, they contributed to Ram's victory actually. And all these three victories. So therefore, my initial slide which I showed you, and that was this one, that Ram Vijay is followed by Ram Bhakta Vijay. And this is what we are discussing. So now for us, practically speaking, how to deal with temptations that distract us from our mission. We also get tempted, as I said. So I have listed 7 different questions which a sadhaka need to ask himself or herself whenever tempted. 7 questions to be asked. The first question to be asked while dealing with the temptation that distracts us from our mission. The first question to be asked is, are my secondary priorities overtaking my primary ones? We all know we have priorities, different priorities set, primary, secondary, tertiary. Let's say my primary priority is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the morning. And my secondary priority may be to attend some calls and have some responsibility in the society, play some role. That's my secondary thing. But if the secondary is gaining over the primary and my chanting is remaining, I'm just giving one example. There can be a number of examples, or some temptations comes and allures me. My primary goal is something else. And this is my secondary priority, but the secondary priority is acting as a temptation and obstructing my duty towards my primary responsibility. Is it happening this way? So this is the first question which a sadhaka need to ask. Are my secondary priorities overtaking my primary ones? Second important question need to be asked is, what would Lord Ram think if I succumb to this temptation? Okay, there's a temptation. If I succumb, let us say, what would Lord Ram think of me? What would Lord Krishna think of me? I'll give another example for this. We all know from the Ramayana only, when Bharata and Shatrughna, they were coming from the, we have these rites performed on 10th day, 11th day, right? After death of a person. So after death of Dashrath Maharaj, some of these last rites they perform, and they're coming back, entering into the kingdom. And so Bharat was there, Shatrughna was there, and they both of them happened to see Mantra. And when Shatrughna saw Mantra, he was outraged. He just dragged her, holding her ears, holding her hairs, and dragging. And they happened to go till the palace of Kaikeyi. And then when Kaikeyi came out from the palace, then Mantra took shelter of Kaikeyi and said, please protect me. And then Kaikeyi addressed not to Shatrughna, Kaikeyi addressed to Bharata, who was elder. And he said that, why are you allowing this? You should protect Mantra. And then Bharat said something which is very astounding. Bharat says, oh Kaikeyi. He didn't say, oh mother. He says, oh Kaikeyi, on that very day when I got to know that Lord Ram has been exiled by a plot made by you and this crooked Mantra, I would have killed both of you on the very same day. But the thought that what Lord Ram would think did not allow me to kill both of you. So the point over here is, Bharat, there was this temptation of anger, and Bharat did not succumb to the temptation of anger and killing of a woman, which was a simple activity, and that too killing a mother is a very grave sin. He could protect just because he thought of Lord Ram. What will he think of me? So similarly, a sadhaka, whenever in facing a temptation, should think, what would Lord Krishna, whose devotee I am trying to become, what will he think? What will my spiritual master think if I succumb to this temptation? What will Srila Prabhupada think if I succumb to this temptation? And dear devotees, this question has helped me also a lot in my personal life as well. So very important question to be asked to oneself while facing a temptation. The third question, what image do I want to send to my followers through my actions? If I succumb to temptation, there are so many other people, I should take care, I should take responsibility of themselves also on me. If I succumb to temptation, what image I am sending to them? And this same question Krishna also asked Arjuna to think upon. Loka sangraha me vartham sampashchan kar tum arhasi. See, for the purpose of setting an example for others, you should fight. Arjuna had given so many, almost 4 to 5 reasons in the first chapter of Gita for not to fight. And while convincing Arjuna in the second chapter itself, and then in the third chapter, Krishna said that at least for the sake of others, okay, even if you don't want to fight, okay with that, but for the sake of general populace who will consider you as a hero and they will follow you, for their sake you should fight. Loka sangraha me artham. I also do my, I don't have, name partha asti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. I don't have any duty to be performed in the three planets, but I still act loka sangraha me artham. I still act for the sake of general populace. So what will others, what image, what signals I am sending to others, that also need to be questioned. The fourth question, am I fascinated by the wonders of God or God himself? So the energy of the God and the God. So I should not get attracted by the energy of the Lord, because okay, something is beautiful, something is attractive, but we should always think that this, all this beauty, all this is just nothing but a spark of the whole supremely attractive, supreme beautiful Lord Krishna. Krishna says in 10th chapter Gita, he says that whatever attractive, beautiful, Aishwaryashali, whatever you see, that is nothing but a my simple spark. So don't get attracted by the spark, get attracted by the whole. So by whom I am getting fascinated? That is the question to be asked. And the fifth question to be asked is, am I thinking for long term or just a short term? So we should think ourselves, when we think just for the short term, then we'll succumb to the temptation. But when we think for the long term, then we know that this is not conducive for me at this point of time. Look for some, just like someone having a diabetes and there is a temptation of sweet. So if I just think for a short term, I will get a pleasure. And how much will be the duration of the pleasure? Let us say gulab jam is offered to me. I am having a diabetes and I eat that gulab jam. It will be there on my tongue for maximum a minute. Right? So a short term pleasure. But long term it's going to affect me. It's going to increase my sugar and it may risk my life as well if I am a severe diabetic patient. So similarly, we are all patients admitted in the hospital of the material world and taking the treatment of Krishna Bhakti. So we need to be cautious and look for something long term. And we can develop this long term vision by cultivating the mode of Sattva Gunam, because Sattva has that vision. If we are too much dominated by mode of passion and ignorance, then we'll think for something only short term. Yattadagre vishamiva pariname amrutopamam. Initially it may seem like poison to say no to the temptation. Oh my God, I can't say no. Yattadagre vishpariname amrutopamam. But the parinam, the result of this is going to be nectar. And a devotee is concerned about that. That is called as long term. And on the contrary, that is sattvic. And on the contrary, what is short term or mode of passion? Yattadagre amrutopamam pariname vishamiva. Initially, it seems like nectar in the beginning. Like I said, rasgulla, for a minute, it is nectar. But pariname vishamiva, at the end is going to be poison. So, am I developing those shastra chakshu? And am I seeing through the vision of the scriptures and looking for something long time in my life? That is the question that needs to be asked. The sixth question, am I taking enough shelter of the Lord through chanting and prayers? Okay, I'm chanting, but am I taking shelter through this process? We do chant, yes, but am I seeking shelter through this process? Okay, I'm hearing a class. Am I seeking shelter of Krishna through this process of hearing and offering prayers to the Lord? Srila Prabhupada, there is an anecdote you all must have heard that Srila Prabhupada was there in a temple. I think, I don't remember which temple it was. In a temple, Srila Prabhupada said to the devotees that I can never get affected by temptations of Maya. And then the next day he was there in front of the deities and praying to Srimati Radharani. Oh, Srimati Radharani, please protect me from all these temptations which may come in my life. And the devotees said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you said yesterday you are not fearful of temptations. You can conquer any temptation. And today you are praying to Srimati Radharani. What is this? Srila Prabhupada then said, because I am praying to Srimati Radharani, therefore I can say. So a constant fervent prayers to the Lord helps us a lot. We just need to have a firm faith that when I pray to the Lord, Lord is listening to my prayers. And this should be our constant prayers. Prahlad Maharaj also says this. Yadi dasyasi me kaman varamstvam vardarshabha kamanamrudya samroham bhavatastu vrine varam. This is one of my favorite prayers. Prahlad Maharaj offers in 7th chapter, 10th canto. 7th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, wherein he says, okay, my Lord, he has prayed, offered his prayers and he didn't want anything. If you want to give me any benediction at all, Yadi dasyasi me kaman varamstam varadarshava, you are varada rushava, you are the greatest boon giver. Even I don't want anything, but if you want to at all give me anything, give me this one thing. What is that? Kamana mrdya sambrahum bhavatastu prinevaram. Remove all my material desires from my heart. Because I want anya bilashita shunyam bhakti. So, a constant prayer to the Lord and seeking shelter when we chant the holy name. It's not just chanting, it's not just meditating, but it is the seeking shelter of the Lord through that. And the seventh question is, am I aware of my raging mind and how am I directing it? Because it said how we are directing our mind. It said in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Parjahati yada kaman sarvan parthamano gatan atmanyevatmana tushta sthita pradnya stadochate. Who is called as sthita pradnya? Parjahati yada kaman. All the kaman, all the desires the person has, jahati. Not only jahati, prajahati, prakrishta rupena, he has given up. And which are sarvan partha manogatan, which are generated in the mind. So our mind can be going towards kamana. So the point I'm telling you is, how am I directing my mind? So is my mind getting directed towards the desires, manogatan, it says. Because they are generated in the mind. And inside there is soul. So mind is just one of the layers of the soul. So they are manogatan. These desires are called as manogatan. But when we direct these manogatan, we direct the mind towards internal substance. That is the soul. And that's what the next line says. Atmani eva atmana tushtaha. being satisfied in one's own self, that is called as sthita pragya. So where are we directing our mind towards? Towards the material desires? Therefore, in regards to Ambarish Maharaj, it said, Savaimanaha Krishna Padara Vindayor, he has engaged his mind in the meditating the lotus feet of the Lord. So, where are we directing our mind towards? That is the important and the pertinent question, the seventh question. So, in summary, we discussed Rama Bhakta Vijay. Ram Vijay has to be followed by Rama Bhakta Vijay. And Ram Bhakta Vijay is basically conquering our temptation, and how all these three devotees, they did not succumb to any temptation, and they represent a sadhaka. So we should not also succumb to temptation. And when we become Vijayi with the help of the Lord, obviously, then that is actually Ram Vijay. And more important is, you see the increasing level of temptation. So as we make spiritual advancement, the level of temptation is going to increase. Just like we know Haridas Thakur, so advanced devotee he was. It's not that there were no temptations. There were. So our advancement doesn't guarantee that there will be no temptations. No. Our more advanced we are, the more severe temptations will come. They are going to increase. Just like if you see the Sugriva, Hanuman and Sita, the level of temptation is rising. And these three devotees represent three rasas as well. Hanumanji represents Dasyaras, Sugriv represents Sakhyaras, Mother Sita represents Madhuryaras. So even up to that point of highest elevated rasa, one is going to be tempted. So when that level of temptation is going to rise with my spiritual advancement also, what need to be done is, how to conquer that is, we need to increase the level of our purpose. So conquering the increasing level of temptation by increasing the level of our purpose. Yes, I want to attend the spiritual abode and this is my purpose. So when we elevate our purpose, with that we can counteract the temptation which is offered by the illusory energy of the Lord. So our fervent prayer to Lord Ram on this particular day should be, O Lord Ram, as you help all these devotees, right? All these devotees were nourished by the love of Lord Ram, and therefore they could say no to the temptations. So let my bhakti creeper get nourished by you, and I get the strength to say no to all the obstacles which come in my way towards you, with the help of you, and one day I will reach up to you. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you very, very so much for enlightening this class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for sharing your wonderful realizations. And it's such a wonderful presentation, detailedly explained. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. If anybody have any questions, please go ahead.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Babuji, you are supposed to speak Madhvacharya also, no?
Supposed to speak. Actually, I didn't.
Please, Prabhu, much on like that. 5-10 minutes is also fine, Prabhu, please.
Prabhu, see, please.
One thing is, I wanted to give a full justice to this. I'll say a few lines about Madhvacharya. He was a great stalwart devotee of Lord Krishna who appeared in the 12th century. And he was, like we had discussed about Hanumanji today, so he was an incarnation of Vayudev, and he, during his life, he personally met Vyasadev, and Vyasadev instructed him. He was born in a place called as Padaka Kshetra, and he then established the deity worship, which is still going on. And that is in Udupi, which is in Karnataka province of India. The deity is called as Udupi Krishna. And there are so many stories associated with this Udupi Krishna and so many devotees. So Madhvacharya, as Shankaracharya, we know, had spread this impersonalism throughout the India by his travel and his influence. Madhvacharya, he also traveled throughout India and tried to spread the personalism aspect, and he defeated this impersonal worship of the Lord, impersonal aspect of the worship of the Lord, monism, and defeated Shankaracharya through his ardent preaching. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are mostly matching with Madhvacharya's teachings. The way they worship Madhva, they worship deities. We Gaudiya also worship the deities with same awe and reverence. They also do have Sambandha, Bideya, Pravyojan, Jnana. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also spoke about the same. And we also follow the same lineage. We call it Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Brahma is stands for Brahmaji, Madhva stands for Madhvacharya. And then there is Gaudiya, means the Gaud version, Vaishnavism. So Gaudiya Vaishnava, that we follow. So we come in the same disciplic succession. And he had written so many commentaries on Vedic literatures. Mostly his commentary on Mahabharata, which is called as Tatparya Nirnay, is very celebrated. In all the controversies, so-called controversies in the Mahabharata, he has elaborated upon. So he's also a very great soul to be remembered and to be prayed for today. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandar Pranam. Thank you so much for your really nice presentation, Prabhuji. You really brought all the points that we need to remember as a practicing devotee, especially curbing temptations. My name is Vivek, Prabhuji. So the question I have is a couple of questions. One is all those points that you mentioned that one has to keep in mind. Few were applicable, Prabhuji, but can you give some practical suggestions as a grihastha? Sometimes it's difficult to, it might become like self-centered if we start applying some of these principles for ourselves, because there are these, others within our family also who are also taking this path. So how do we apply certain principles? Is, for example, the fifth point that you mentioned, am I thinking for long term or just for short term? Sometimes we kind of get into a place where it's difficult to apply it on ourselves when there are other members in the family who are also being part of this journey. Can you throw some light on that, Prabhuji?
True, as I said. And not only for a grihastha or anyone, it is this dilemma appears in everyone's life, whether you are brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. Everyone at one point of time will be tempted, and they are indeed. So what we choose upon, the short term or the long term, just like a practical, I give some example of a gulab jam, right? So if a diabetic patient succumbs to the short-term pleasure, then he will have to pay the price in the long term. So if we also, while performing our duties, we succumb to the short-term pleasures, gratifying pleasures, then we will not have the ability to lead all those we are called ourselves responsible for. Like there's a very nice experiment conducted by a researcher, which is called as marshmallow test. You must have heard, you can find it on YouTube also. So that marshmallow test is like, basically there is a sweet item called as marshmallow, and marshmallow, these small kids actually, they were tested. That one marshmallow was given to n number of kids in a test, and they said that we give you one, and there is so much of temptation that the marshmallow is there lying in front of you, and they said that we will wait and watch for 20 minutes. You are locked in a room, only you and your marshmallow in front of you in a dish. And if you could resist the temptation of eating this one, after 20 minutes, you will get another one. It means you'll have two. And if you cannot, then you enjoy one. So there are those people, kids, they couldn't resist the temptation and they ate that one. Some could resist, as I mentioned, grabbers and resistors. Those who were grabbers, they grabbed one. Those who were resistors, they are thinking for the long term and they got two at the end. Those who were patient for 20 minutes. The experiment did not end over here. 25 years down the line, the team of researchers again came and researched on these students and their behaviors, their pattern of behaviors. And they found that when all those who could not resist the temptation, actually, they were still unable to put off immediate gratification. They are stressed out. They are not holding any responsible position. And those who actually could resist, they became leaders at some position somewhere. They are able to say no to the temptations still. So the point is that it's one of the leadership qualities as well. It's not only about our own individualistic sadhana, but it is one of the leadership qualities as well to resist the temptation. And we saw, if you know some of the historical aspects of India, so many of these Mughal rulers, they became victim of these temptations and they have to lose kingdoms. And on the contrary, we have King Shivaji, who was the great Maratha king at that time. He was also offered temptations, but he could say no to them. And he won over. And he still celebrated, not only in India, throughout the world. In Israel, there is his memorial. So the point I'm telling you is that to be at a leadership position, you have to have this ability of seeing something long-term and not succumb to the short-term pleasures. And therefore, I have put it as a question. Ask yourself, whenever you are deciding something, is it for my short term or is it for my long term? And when we question ourselves, then we better know the answer, actually, what for it is. Right?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for clarifying with that marshmallow test example. One another question I have is, I did not really get when you said the levels of temptation increases as we advance or progress in our Krishna consciousness.
It is something like a student in the 10th standard and a student in the 12th standard. And let us say a student in the engineering or medical field in the final year. So as the student is advancing, 10th, 12th or graduation, so the question paper will have to be at that level. So the student is advancing and the question paper is also advancing simultaneously. So similarly, the one who is advanced, Maya will not offer a silly temptation for that person because Maya knows he can immediately conquer over. So the temptation will be proportional to our level of advancement. That is the point. So for a neophyte, the temptation will be at that level. But when you are advancing more, so at that type of temptation, like for Haridas Thakur, Maya Devi herself appeared, right? So we are not that advanced. So Maya Devi herself will not come. She will send one of her agents. And then who will win, depending on who is strong, who is more rooted in fundamentals.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Yeah, now it makes sense. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
So I think I have another class scheduled now. So can we leave?
Yeah, sure, Prabhuji. If you have another class, we don't want to keep you hold. Thank you very so much for a very enlightening class today, Prabhuji. We are very grateful to you and we look forward for your association again in future, Prabhuji. If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna,
Prabhuji. Thank you very much for the lecture.
Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Jai.
Thank you, Mukund, for joining in. Thank you so much.
Very, very nice.
Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
No.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Tocho choro.
Wow.